My timing is impeccable.
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love.
Yes.
Pray, Father, that you will be in both services today. And please open our minds and our hearts and our arms to your word and to you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Just let your peace be among us, Father.
Mm-hmm.
We shall not fail to give you the praise and glory and honor. We ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Okay. Praise the Lord.
So, welcome everybody to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship. Today we are in Matthew 13 still, and last week we finished up with, or the last thing I remember discussing, was the mustard seed. And that the mustard seed had proper identity of who he was, and that was the reason for his great success in growing to be a big and wonderful and beautiful tree that even the birds of the air could rest in. And that's a good lesson for all of us. So do you want to, does anybody have anything else you want to say about the mustard seed, or should we go on to the leaven? The next parable he spoke of was the leaven. And I love leaven.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do make sourdough bread. And I love working with it, working with my hands, and just forming that thing. And it's just such a beautiful, it is a very satisfying thing to do, to make bread with your very own hands from that teeny little thing, that leaven. I don't even know what it is. They tell us it's alive. It's alive, it's alive. And it grows when you put it in there with flour and water, warm water, and it grows and expands, fills every little nook and cranny with the healthy bread of life. Ooh, I like that. Nowadays they tell you not to eat too much bread. And I don't know, I think that the Bible says give us this day our daily bread. I think they were eating bread long ago before we came around, and it was healthy then. I think it's healthy now. I think it's a lot of the other junk that we put in our bread that is not good for you. But I believe especially sourdough bread is good for you because it's fermented. Mm-hmm. It's fermented foods, and those are very, very good for you. But that, be that as it may, it's not very spiritual, but I just love my bread. Do you think we should read, start at 33, or did you read 33 last week?
We didn't. If we did, we didn't discuss.
Okay, well, let's just start there. 33, 34, 35, and then it goes back to the tares explain. Let's talk about the leaven, and then we'll go on and read a little bit more. So just read those three verses for now.
Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, sourdough, which a woman took and covered over in three measures of wheat meal or flour, till all of it was leavened. These things, all taken together, Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, without a parable, he said nothing to them. This was in fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world.
Did it actually say sourdough?
Yes, it's sourdough.
It did. Wow, I didn't even know that.
Okay. Parentheses.
Mm-hmm. Hid three little tiny measures, put a little bit of leaven in there, and it leavened the whole bread. Mm-hmm. So I looked up what those measures were, and what it was there's a bushel, and I think there's four measures to a bushel. So this was like 3/4 of a bushel of meal. So that made a whole lot of bread.
Yeah.
There's a definition in here of, mm-hmm. of that, if you
want
to read it. Mm-hmm. This is the first time leaven is mentioned in the New Testament. See, for the first time of leaven, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word seor, I guess it's S-E-O-R, I don't know if that's the way you pronounce it, but that sounds like the way it would be to me, refers specifically to leaven agents as opposed to dough containing it, mm-hmm. which today is thought of as yeast type mm-hmm. of fungi. In Jewish thinking, leaven was symbolic of impurity and corruption. Jesus used it as a symbol for the corrupt and hypocritical teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And you know, gives you the scripture references to it. But he also used it, leaven, as the ability to permeate a mass of dough, many times its own size, an illustration of the spread of the kingdom of heaven as it is here. Okay.
That's really good, because I do remember a Bible verse that said one grain of leaven will spoil a whole.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because they ate unleavened bread mostly.
Well, the thing about Jesus is a lot of times he talked in ways that they should have understood what he was saying, because he broke it down and he talked about things that they should have known, because they knew what leaven was, because on the Passover they were to eat unleavened bread.
Yeah.
It wasn't to have anything that was spoiled put in it. It would have been pure, you know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when God uses unleavened on you, it don't taste as good as the other stuff.
That's true.
It's a shame to say that, but mm-hmm. you know, really, it's really like that, but you know.
I think it's number three, because the woman, how she had it, it was divided into three measures. Uh-huh. So it was.
Yeah, and we know that three is a very significant number in God, you know. You know.
I read something this morning, and I felt like it fit into this pretty well. And I don't know where I read it or what Bible verse it was, but it's in there somewhere, and it says, I tell you about earthly things and you don't understand them. How will you ever understand
That's right.
heavenly mm-hmm. spiritual things? If I tell you, do you know where that is?
Not right offhand, but I can look it up.
It seemed to me that it said John. Interesting. And I don't know how to look it up, because
Scripture,
I didn't know the translation.
Earthly things you don't understand. How can you understand heavenly things for today?
Yeah.
Here he says he's opening up things that were hidden.
John 3:12 says.
Yeah.
And of other things that have been, he said, this was a fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world.
Well, how many times have you heard me say over the years, the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit.
Yes, it does.
And they really do, but you have to have eyes to see it.
Yes.
And you have to understand and see. A lot of times people want to make it way more complicated than it is, you know, and they don't look at the simple thing that it is, because the simplicity of it usually will give you more of the definition of what really is going on. And when I share my sermon to you out there, I'll show you that. Not that I...
Really?
Yeah, sort of, you know.
Oh, that's great.
You know, Tobias that shared, I really enjoyed taking him back and forth to the doctor, because uh-huh. we share and, you know, talk. And he's got to go to Kalamazoo. I'm going to ride with him, help, you know, drive. Just to share, every job he's been on, God has taken something in the natural and brought it and showed him something in the spirit.
Yeah.
He has shared with me and Betty and us through the years.
Well, you know, when you know that Jesus said, you know, that the kingdom doesn't come with observation, the kingdom of God, you know, and when he basically was saying the kingdom of God is within you. Mm-hmm. So really, all of the answers to all of this stuff are really right in here. You know, because everything. It's either talking, all the whole Bible is either talking about relationship, you with him or him with you, one or the other. And it's all, when you come to understand that, then you can see a lot of times the deeper truths that are in it. Because a lot of times if you just see the surface thing and you go on, then you miss the real gist of what he was really saying, because he spoke to them in parables so that seeing they wouldn't see, and understanding they wouldn't understand, because they were using their natural mind to try to understand it. And if you look at it with the mind of the Spirit, then it's so much broader and so much simpler.
You were talking about that on the way down. Yeah. We were talking about when you teach and preach or share and bring forth the truth and that life, because it's coming from God and the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's within you. So then there's a witness. There's an understanding. There's a bringing forth by him of the truth, the life. We were sharing.
Well, even part of what my sermon was last week about is we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Yes.
That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Because he's not of God as afar off. He's dwelling right inside of you. You know.
Yes.
And, you know, when you say that, a lot of people, they've got him off in heaven, some millions and millions of miles away somewhere. And, you know.
But he's everywhere present.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's at, you know.
His presence is everywhere.
Yes.
But it's inside of you.
Yes.
He chose to hide himself
in
man. You know, he chose to hide himself in man.
You know, I can't hardly come in here and sit down and listen without, almost I start tearing up.
Yeah.
It just touches me so deeply how much God loves us, that he is right here with us.
Right.
And when you get that firmly into your being, everything becomes personal between you and your maker, you know, you and Almighty God, and he's in every single one of us. And, you know, I don't know why I keep thinking about, remember that time you spoke about, don't get too puffed up, though. We are not the gem. We are the bezel.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is in us, but we are not God. You know, we are the container that sits there and holds him up and gives, so that people can see his glory.
Yeah.
You know, that's us.
Well, even think about this. In the Old Testament, the high priest wore a breastplate that had 12 stones on it, you know. And the name of the 12 tribes of Israel were engraved in those 12 stones. And how many months is in a year?
12.
There's 12 birth stones, you know.
Yeah.
And what do all of those stones do? I mean, technically, they reflect the light of the sun, you know, in the natural. But even with us, as we understand even what the meaning of those stones were, and I've taught on that before, but it's been a long time. But I ought to teach on it again sometime. Mm-hmm. But even the meaning of those stones, what the meaning of them is, that it's, we're to be a reflection of God, you know, of the glory of God. Because, you know, think about women, when, you know, what do they say about women, about diamonds? Diamonds are a girl's best friends, supposedly. Well, why? Because they're so beautiful, because they break down the light, and they glisten, and, you know, literally if you get a diamond will become a prism if you get it in the right place where it shines on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It'll show the colors of the rainbow, you know. And when we come to realize that all of the things in the Scripture, everything in there, I don't care what it is, everything in there has different depths of meaning. And there's a natural, like a fleshly meaning, there's a soulish meaning, and then there's a spiritual meaning, the highest order, you know. And what we need to do is ask God to give us eyes to see the highest order, you know, because we sort of understand some of the other ones, and it's always a process, and it's just like, you know, when it says in, I guess it's, I'm trying to think of where the scripture is. I guess, is it in Romans? I think it's Romans 12th chapter, I think it is, where he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Three things saved. Well, the good is the benefits, the beneficial. That's what that word means. The acceptable means well-pleasing. And that's where you desire to be well-pleasing to God. And he begins to tell you, I'm well-pleased in you, you know. And then the perfect will of God is a word that actually means a full-aged man. You know, it means perfect, complete, entire, and all that, but also means a full-aged man. And one of the scriptures I'll share today, we'll get into that in a little bit. But it's three realms, you know. And those three realms keep cropping up everywhere in scripture, you know. And, you know, so.
30, 60, and
100. Yeah, 30, 60, and 100, three realms, see. And it always does that, you know. And in Hosea, where he said, when the third day has come, you know, he talks about the third day there. And he talks about three types of rain, you know, the latter rain, the latter rain, the former rain, and there's three different types, you know. And there's always, God always does things in threes, you know, and it's, you know, we need to come understand that and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this situation? And a lot of times, it'll knock your socks off when he shows you. I mean, because you like what you were just saying before. It just thrills your heart, you know, because you think, my God, you had this all figured out. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to search after him to find out these things, you know. And really what'll all end up where we'll find out it's all revolving around is Christ in you, the hope of glory, yes. You know.
And, it takes your breath away.
Yeah.
It does.
It does. It's...
Did you get the part, that scripture you were talking about in John?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I have it here.
3:12, did you say?
It's 3:12. It says, I have told you earthly things and you did not believe. Mm-hmm. How then will you believe when I speak heavenly things? Mm-hmm. And that was that New International Version. There's mm-hmm. different versions here. It says, New Living Translation says, but if you don't believe me when I tell you about the earthly things, how can you possibly believe me if I tell you about heavenly things?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know? And there's, you know, different, there's a bunch of other translations of that, but you know,
now,
the Amplified, let's read that one too. If I had told you earthly things, that is the things that happened right here on earth, and you do not believe, how will you believe and trust me if I tell you heavenly things?
Read 13 in the Amplified too.
Okay, I don't have the Bible. I just pulled that. I can go back and get it.
That's okay. I'll read it in. Yeah, you can.
Oh, well, right here where it says, you believe me, how can you believe? And then it says, trust me, adhere to me, and rely on me.
Uh-huh.
It says that.
Yeah.
He says, going down, it says, and yet no one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, who is, dwells, and has his home in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And remember what Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus? And Brother Eddie used to quote, Brother Eddie probably quoted this scripture many, many times,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus said, I, the Son of Man, who am in heaven, mm-hmm. and he was standing right there in front of him.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
He had that mind of Christ, you know, he was in that realm, you know, and it's more, everybody's looking to go to heaven, but heaven is really more of a awareness and a presence of God. Wherever God is, that's heaven. Yeah, you know what I mean? Where he is when we come to the realization of it. Yeah, yeah. And what did, yes, what did he pray? His kingdom do what?
Come.
His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's that? When we come to the realization of what he was really teaching us about, you know, it's not us going somewhere as much as it is coming to the realization of whom, what he is. And
being.
Even when people, and I hate to say this, but even when people teach about the rapture, I don't know if there's going to be so much of people going away as there is of them coming to the knowledge of here and what he takes away. Maybe it ain't what people thinks.
Agreed.
You know, but anyway.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
That's what you did here.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, read those. What it says that they mean. That's tremendous. That's the 12 stones. That's the birth stone. That's 12 birth stones there.
Let me see where I start. Okay. Well, you got it.
Well, if you, yeah.
It says jasper.
That's mine.
Sardine stone.
Yeah.
It says wisdom and serenity.
Yeah.
It's light blue, the color of the sky.
Yeah, I told him that.
There's a second one there. This is jasper, and then you got this sardine.
And it says that means what? Aquamarine, wisdom, serenity, light blue the sky. Then it goes down there to the garnet.
That's a sardine stone.
Stone, constancy, protection, bright red.
See, I think the most important thing about those things is what do they mean?
Yes.
You know, serenity. Now, don't we all want to be in a position of being in a place of serenity? You know, and what is that really being? That's being in a place of rest and peace, you know.
And this, they go into detail what the stones are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I taught on that.
That's what I was getting.
I'm surprised you still have it. That's good. I tell you what, some of this stuff, you need to hang on to it because it will minister to you over the years.
You're really enlarged.
Yeah, it'll actually open up to you more and more as you have other things added to it. Yeah. I've got so many notes and things at home. It's ridiculous. Where I've taught over things over the years, but.
Yeah. But you're not ready.
You don't
feel ready yet to talk about rapture.
Were all those stones?
Well, the word rapture does not appear in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's in the only place where the word is at is in a Latin Vulgate where it says raptismos, you know, is the word. And that whole thing about rapture came about, checked into it. Mm-hmm. It came about, it wasn't in the early church. It came about from, a lady in Scotland that said that she had a vision and she saw people going up. And
literally.
And the church grabbed onto that over there and then it spread. And you know, it's the whole tradition of that is not exactly scriptural.
No, it's not true.
It's not.
And you don't really probably want to speak against anything.
Well, that's why I don't really like saying this here because someone out there who their hope is in the rapture, that would cause them to turn us off and not even listen to the truth about
God
other things.
To them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to me, like I said, I had a person ask me one time, and I never mentioned a rapture when I was teaching down at the other church. I had a person say to me, after I was speaking, they said, "Brother Oscar," they come up afterwards and says, "You don't believe in the rapture, do you?" And I said, "Well, let me put it to you like this. I only teach on the things that the Lord has dealt with me about."
Yeah.
He's never dealt with me about a rapture.
Yeah.
I said, but I'll tell you this. If you want to sit down and explain it all to me, I'll be glad to sit down and listen. Mm-hmm. That was the end of that. Because they can't explain it, you know. And, you know, there's scripture that talks about being caught away and, you know, different things like that. And there's also understandings of that in the sense that Paul said, in the body or out of the body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I knew a man once that was caught up to the third heaven. Why wasn't the seventh heaven or the tenth heaven or the 12th heaven? The third heaven, there's your three again, see? Mm. And I heard things that were unlawful for me to speak. You know, in other words, I can't even, you know. And part of where they get the seventh heaven from is they get it from, I don't think what it is. I think from Enoch, the book of Enoch. You can find some of those books out there, but they were not added to the canon of the Bible when they actually put the books in the Bible that they were going to put in there. And you know, there's a lot of things in there that I think a lot of modern day people, deeper truth people, are trying to grab onto there. But I've got all that stuff, but I just don't fool with it. I mean, I only go into stuff that I feel like the Lord has me go into, you know. And you know, I mean, there's books of Mary, there's books of a whole bunch of different things, you know.
That, Thomas,
yeah. And I've got all of them, you know. I mean, you know, but I don't.
They're all very fragmented, though.
Well, yeah, and some of them they have truths in there that fit into the Bible, but you know, I just have never felt like I was supposed to teach on it. And Lonnie one time said to me, he says, Oscar, he says, he's quoting this, and he says, yeah, it's in the Bible. I said, no, I don't think it is, Lonnie. He says, no. I said, it's in, I told him the book it was in. It was one of those outside books because I had seen it. Mm-hmm. And I told him one of those outside books. And he said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you start mixing that stuff in. Yeah. And I have never felt like the Lord really wanted me to get into all of that, you know. And if he directs me to do that, I will.
Yes.
I mean, there's a book of Jasher. There's a lot of them that were not included in the original when they put the Bible together. But what's in here, if God gives you insight, it all fits perfectly together, you know. And, you know, I just don't fool with the things that I don't feel like the Lord's told me to get into.
That's very wise. You can really get out there in the deep.
Well, you can, you know, you can. And a lot of them do get out there.
Well,
and you know, there's people that teach on reconciliation and They basically say that no one has to do anything. They're just going to all be saved and all this and that. Well, according to the word that I've studied, every knee has to do what? Bow and do what? Confess. Yes, when you do that, then that reverses whatever, wherever you're at. But, and that's in the scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, you know. So, you know, but I don't try to get into too many outside things, you know. I mean, I'll mention stuff once in a while. That's like Josephus, you know. Josephus was a, and I don't need to even talk about this if you want to go on.
No, that's good.
Josephus was a person who chronicled.
A historian,
yeah. He chronicled the history of the Jews, and he was living back during the time when Jesus was alive, you know. And he did it partially for the Roman Empire too, so that they would, you know what was going on. And you know, I told the story about Herod, you know. And that all came about, and a lot of times the things that I study into and that the Lord really opens up to me is because somebody asked me something. And then when they ask me something, I go pray about it. And then the Lord, a lot of times, will open it up, you know. But I had a book of Josephus. I never had even cracked that thing. I'd had it for a few years, but I felt like I was supposed to buy it when I was at a Bible store. And I bought it, and then actually it was Roy, Brother Roy, that he said to me, he was teaching out of the book of Acts, and he saw the name Menahem there. And he said he didn't really understand who Menahem was or something like that. And, you know, he never had found anything on that or something. And I wasn't even an elder then, And he said to me, I guess some people had told him that I did teaching and stuff. And he said to me, he said, Brother Oscar, check into that. I mean, my reaction to that was, Brother Roy, you run a Bible college. You're asking me to check into something? I know you probably know 10 times what I do. That was my reaction to that. I got home, and Margaret's mother was still living with us back then, and I'd go down in the basement because I had a couch down there and stuff. Half of my basement is finished and half of it's not. And I have an office that's set off to its side. Anyway, so I go downstairs and I'm sitting there watching television, and I felt like the Lord said, check it to it. So I thought, man, I didn't even know where to begin. So I do have some books that are like encyclopedic dictionary type books, you know, that kind of thing. And they'll tell, you know, you can look up names sometimes and they'll tell some of the history and stuff. And I got two or three different ones, and I pulled out just one and was looking through it, and I was thinking, man, I had no idea who that was. And I saw in there a quote about Menahem, you know, that book of Acts. I saw it. And then I saw a reference to Josephus, to a certain book and a certain place and all this and that. And I thought, wow, I'll have to try to look that up. And I opened Josephus, and I had a hard time finding it because Josephus is, you know, there actually was books on Josephus. I mean, a lot of books, and they condensed it down into just, you know, like one volume. And anyway, so I started looking it up. So what I came to find out was this man named Menahem. He was a SE or something like that. He was one of the sects of the Jews, but he had a prophetic anointing on him, and said he was walking down the road one day, and this young boy walked by. And when the young boy walked by him, he reached over and slapped the guy on his rear end and said something like, oh, hail, King of the Jews, or something like that, you know? And the kid looked up at him and says, hey, I'm just a normal guy, just like you. And I'm paraphrasing this. I'm a normal guy, just like you. You know, I'm not that, you know? And he says, oh, but you will be. And he says, when you come into your kingdom, see that you do justly and rightly, but I know that you won't. And that was Herod, King Herod. Because King Herod wasn't a Jew. The original King Herod, there was a couple different Herods. The original King Herod wasn't a Jew. And so Menahem was living in Herod's court, the other Menahem. I don't know if it was the same one, or I don't know if it was his son, or what it was, because it doesn't really tell you that. But, you know, anyway, Herod asked Menahem, he says, later on, when that happened, when he became king, what it was is he was appointed by Rome as a patriarch of Israel or whatever, you know. And so later on, when he was king, and then there says there was a Menahem living in his court, you know, with these other people. It's got some other names there. It's in the book of Acts if you read it. And he basically said, he went back to him because he realized that it was, he had given him a prophetic word, and he went back to him and he says, well, how long will my, you know, my reign be? Mm-hmm. And he kind of fudged on him a little bit, but told him a little bit about it. And then he asked him another thing, and then he wouldn't answer him. And I don't know if he knew the answer, if God mm-hmm. gave him the answer or not. But, you know, that's the same Herod that killed all the babies mm-hmm. because Jesus mm-hmm. was going to be born. Mm-hmm. See? So, I mean, you
who
know.
Was that the Herod? Who was the one that came out in a glorious arraignment?
That was one of Herod's.
And he took and the people yeah. all praised him.
Yeah.
He took the glory
yeah.
upon himself, and God struck him right then.
Yeah. But there's different things. But if you, I haven't really even studied the book of Josephus all the way through. It has the history. It tells you about all of the Jews that were killed, and it tells you a whole bunch of things that are not in the Bible, you know, but it's historic, you know, historic stuff. And, you know, and he mentions Jesus in there, you know, Josephus does, but he mentions James. He was really impressed with James, you know, the apostle James. But he
Jesus' brother, wasn't he?
Well, I don't know if it was Jesus' brother or I think there was a couple different Jameses. There was two of them, I think.
I think Jesus' brother died very shortly after Jesus, or even before.
I'm not sure about mm-hmm. that, so I wouldn't even talk about that because I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he was very impressed, I think, with James, see. And you know, James was one of the ones that, you know, was he called Sons of Thunder or whatever you call mm-hmm. him in the Bible or something like that. But anyway, what happened was is that he goes on and he talks about Jesus being a righteous man, that they took him and crucified him and stuff, you know. But he didn't really, I believe he called him that he was the Messiah, or claimed to be the Messiah or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what exactly, I can't remember exactly how it was written. But he did mention him back then. And that's just an entirely different book from the Bible, you know, so it was separated. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of neat that, you know, it just brought confirmation mm-hmm. to all of that, you know. And it was a historic book, you know. But, yeah. But anyway, when he said that to me, you know, I mean, and this is how God works. And you can't glory in that God revealed something to you because, I mean, when he said that to me about, check into it, Oscar, and I thought, who, me? You check into it, you're the head of the Bible college, you know. I'm thinking, you know, not me, you know, it should be you. You know, but that's the way God works sometimes. What does Scripture say? He chooses the foolish to confound the wise. So I have to count myself as being one of the foolish ones.
But it all comes together.
That God chose to let me know a few things. So mm-hmm. I definitely don't feel puffed up about it, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. But anyway. But it's so beautiful how God does things, yes. And how he shows you things. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen anything where he's shown me something and then turned around and it be contradicted somehow. Mm-hmm. It he builds upon line and precept upon yes. precept, and he just opens up a little bit more to you all the time, and it doesn't change anything that he showed you 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever. It still fits right together, you know, when he shows it to you. I mean, it's beautiful.
And some things, like you said, he enlarges upon it.
That's what it is.
More enlightened,
right,
upon
right.
it to give greater understanding,
right.
And
that's right.
Know, you find that.
That's right. And you know, when he even tells you, no, you're not, that you're the temple of God, you know, and then you consider, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, you are basically like a triune being, you know, in the sense that, you know, you have a fleshly nature, you have a soulish nature, and then you have a spiritual nature. The spiritual nature is the very life of you. That's the mm-hmm. that's the life-giving nature of God, you know. And, you know, but just like it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know. But God is Spirit, you know. Can you reach up and get a hold of Spirit or see it? No, you don't see it in the natural. But I mean, if God opened your eyes to see it, you could. But you know, it's I don't know. Anyway, we're getting off track here, I guess, a little bit.
I just looked at Luke 13:21, which is the offsetting, the same story about the leaven. And I thought this, I mean, he gives one verse, but it's really interesting.
Yeah.
It says, well, it's two verses there. He says, and Jesus said, and again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?
Uh-huh.
This is neat because I understand it. And it is like leaven. Those teeny little, you know, half a teaspoon that a woman took and hid it in three measures of meal, three quarters of a bushel of meal, this teeny little spoonful of leaven. She hid it down in there.
Yeah, and think about the three. Why wasn't it five or six
that's what
or
I
seven?
Like.
Or,
yes,
three.
Until the whole thing was leaven. Boom! And mine, when, you know, you get this little thing full of flour, put a little water in there, and you put this little tiny bit of leaven in there, and you mix it up, and you hide it. You do. You set it back in a dark spot. You cover it, and just let it ferment. And pretty soon, when you go over there and you take the lid off, it is busting out of the top of the thing. That, to me, is much more a visual image.
Yeah.
Of what Matthew says.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hide it when you put that little bit of leaven in there.
And think about even like wine or like alcohol, you know, like beer or any of that other stuff. It's has stuff added to it that works on it and changes its whole nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can drink all the grape juice till you turn purple. And it has no effect on you mentally or in the way that you act or anything. It might make you sick, but other than that, but you take that and you store it away and let whatever they do to it. I don't even know how they make wine, if they add sugar to it or what they do to
I
make
think it
ferment.
Add yeast to it.
To wine, yeah. Anyway, when they do that, then all of a sudden, later on, after the process is finished, then if you drink it, it has an effect on you, you know. It affects your mental and the way you react to things and everything else. But, you know, like I say, the things of God, the things of the natural, they just declare Him. Everything declares Him if you have eyes to see it, you know, and you understand.
Yeah.
What was that you just read out?
Luke 13:21.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So cool.
Step out here for a minute.
I think we might just go ahead and
what time is it?
We'll,
yeah, because we're always late going out.
Yeah.
We'll
stop here, right? But we won't go into the, let's go back to where we were. Let me see if I can get
the end of the 35, so we're going to start at 36.
I think so.
Discuss.
And my Bible says, and there we go, he kind of goes back to the tares. The wheat and the tares and the explains.
Yeah, because he goes into the house.
Yeah.
He leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He left the throngs.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting because then Jesus sent the multitude away and he went into the house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And his disciples came to him. And, you know, they've got a little more of Jesus in them. And he says, declare us unto us what is the parable of the tares in the field, of the field. And then he starts explaining all that. I think that goes right back to the thing about I teach you. And it even says, I think, in Matthew, I teach them in parables, in lest they hear, lest they believe. Like, he doesn't want that. It's not time for them to believe. First, they have to believe it on this level. Then they can move into the next level and believe it on the soulish level. And then they can believe it on the spiritual level. But he's not ready. They can't quite get it yet because they don't have the understanding, and that's okay. That's God's plan. First I teach them, you know, in the worldly, in the earthly way, And then they learn in the spiritual.
Yeah. But you know, in verse 33, it talks about three measures of meal. Well, Abraham had Sarah use three measures of meal to cook cakes for the three angels that came.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Genesis 18, verse 6.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see that.
But it doesn't go into too much detail.
But it just confirms that when you see something, you see it again.
Yes. Genesis 18:6.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah and said, "Make ready." Oh, how cool is that? Yeah. "Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal." There it is. Mm.
So that happened. I don't know about the yeast.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bake cakes.
I do rolls, dinner rolls.
Do you?
We can do bread.
I do those too, the shorter rise. Mm-hmm.
What was that bread that you guys used to make where you pass it on to the other person?
Amish friendship.
Yeah, and there was,
and you keep
and it could kept, you could kept it forever to, and kept doing that.
Pass it around.
Yeah,
from,
you
there
had
was a
starter.
Yeah,
it would bubble up and bubble up. Yeah,
you give her and then
that was just old stuff.
Yes,
and they would keep some and then pass some on to the next. Yeah.
Interesting side note here.
Yeah,
Buddy came up with in Genesis 18. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, Now, I have found favor in thy sight, the Lord, he has said, Abraham says to the Lord, if I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy spirit. Mm-hmm. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Oh, look, this is about washing your feet. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore, this is when the angels came.
Mm-hmm.
For therefore ye are come to your servant, and they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent of Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal.
Mm-hmm.
And fine meal is flour.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been cornmeal in those days, but knead it. You have to, that's what the kneading is for, is because you have to mix the leaven in there. And quickly knead it and make cakes upon the hearth to feed the angels.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Yep.
Three cakes.
I know my mother used to make pan bread. You didn't have to wait for it to rise.
Yeah.
No.
Mix it up, throw it in the skillet.
That's all starting back again because people don't have time to do that, let it sit overnight. But it is better for you if you let it ferment overnight, because the fermentation is what causes the healthy stuff to wiggle through you.
I was looking to see if I had one of them that had the numbers in it, one of those pages. I don't have it.
I've got it in my Bible.
Another
good morning.
Three is a number that has to do with perfection. Yeah. It really does. I can't remember right offhand what it is.
Sacred.
Last night on Facebook, it had, were you in the group that went, the women that went out? There was nine of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I put on there, hope you enjoyed. Then I said, 3 times 3 equals 9.
Uh-huh.
I put on now, you know what 3 means. I put that on underneath the picture of y'all on Facebook. So
I have a big secret I'm carrying from that time. Don't tell Mike.
Yeah.
I got out of my car. We were sitting there waiting for the place to open because it opened at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're sitting in the car, and a few others in our group sat there. And we were kind of texting back and forth, let's storm the doors and make them open, So we all got out of the car and we stood at the door. And And we went in, we were in there for 2 hours and I had lunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I went outside and I opened my car door and the heat just, I had left my car running and the key in the car the whole time. And you know what? That's not the first time I've done that.
Yeah.
Mike, you didn't hear that.
Was the car locked up?
No.
Someone could.
I know it.
God spared you.
Listen, bless the beast and the children. God takes care of us.
Spared you. Had to have dinged that you had it running.
I know it.
You must have had a lot on your mind and forget to turn off the car.
Yes, and my car runs very quiet.
Quiet, yeah.
And no smoke. If it was billowing smoke, somebody. But I was praying, you know, I thought to myself, why didn't somebody come out there and see that and just turn the key off, you know?
Good thing, Father, I just got in and broke one off.
Oh, they wouldn't have wanted that.
My car, I mean,
they wouldn't have wanted that little car.
In my car, if you leave the key in there, you open the door, you'll get that little sound.
The ding. Her car, the dog was talking and laughing.
Yeah, mine does that too.
Or if you
walk away from it with a run and it starts dinging and stuff.
If you leave the lights on, it does the same.
Mine's too old. It doesn't have those.
Well, you heard about yours. Can't be old as mine.
Mine doesn't even
have. What year is your car?
2007.
That's mine too. 2007.
That was the first year they made them. Oh, God. Thank you, Father.
Are you praying?
Would you pray?
Oh, all right then. Father, we just thank you so much. Yeah. What a blessing it is to gather together with our brothers and sisters, oh Lord, and just to share what you're speaking to us and in us and through us. And we thank you, Father, for enlightening us and revealing yourself to us. May we be the blessing that you would have us to be to everyone that we meet. We won't fail to give you the praise and glory, oh God. In the next service, Father, reveal yourself, speak to hearts, and bless, for we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Don't you find that the more you give away, the more you get? I think that's why it says don't forsake the coming together with the brothers and sisters. There's always, you cannot outgive the Lord.
Oh, my God. And there's always something that God has that he's given to each of us to share with one another.
Yeah.
And that he does.
I was sitting the other day, and I have to say, in James, there where it says, lacking nothing. I was sitting there, and I was thinking, I had tears in my eyes again. And I said, you know what? I'm sitting in my house here, and I can't think of one thing that I want that I don't have.
Yeah.
I've got a car and it runs. I've got a little house. I've got a roof over my head. I got, you know, I've come to the point where I can't understand people who have that constant need for something new. I used to be like that,
well,
especially when I was young.
Here. This is called emptiness.
When I was young, you know, the first time your new car got a dent, oh my God, I got to have another, you know, get rid of this thing, give me a perfect one. There's no earthly thing.
I think I told you guys that a lady hit me the other day.
Yes.
Bed.
Did you get it fixed?
No, not yet. I got it. I took it and they're going to fix it. You know, it's not going to cost me anything, but. I was coming out of Kroger's over there on 747, and she was coming behind Chipotle's there, and I'm driving up the road like it's in straight, you know, and I seen her out the corner of my eye, you know, coming at me, and I thought, don't hit me. I start saying, don't hit me, don't hit me.
She didn't hear you.
I was coming up this morning in church, and a light hit your car just right, and I saw her.
Yeah, it's wavy right there by that back quarter panel. Yeah,
it was showing on the internet.
It didn't do a terrible lot of damage, but they